Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. And what a weekend we have got to look forward to. It is the Dublin Racing Festival, one of the biggest highlights of the jump season in Ireland. And we will be taking a view at what promises to be an outstanding weekend of racing from Leopardstown. They've survived the storm and we've got a stellar Irish Gold Cup to look forward to on Saturday. An Irish champion hurdle with pointers towards the big one in March as well. And we'll be covering the DRF in detail, as well as all the domestic action. We've got six races to look forward to at Sandown, including a grade one there, the Scilly Isles Novices Chase, and three races from Musselburgh. We've got 13 races in total, but we certainly hope we won't be unlucky 13 for us all. Joining us on the panel, looking to find winners across Britain and Ireland. In the top right, if you're watching along, is Racing Post tipster Harry Wilson. Bottom left, Jimmy Hill, James Hill from Racing Post Tipping as well. And as always, Unibet's Ed Nicholson, who's made a flying start to 2026. But let's start in Ireland and the Dublin Racing Festival. And we're going to start with one of the smaller fields we'll see all weekend, but still a very insightful race nonetheless. This is the Goff's Irish Arkle Novices Chase at 2.55 at Leopardstown. Just the three runners here, but they include Romeo Coolio at 4-9, Cargisi at 15-8, and Down Mexico Way at 18-1. The obvious bit of news that's coming out this morning as we record on Thursday afternoon, who's got no Kopeck the board. He has drifted in the Arkle market. But Harry, we'll come to you first on this race. How much of a bearing is this going to have on the Cheltenham Festival as well? And is it as straightforward as Romeo Coolio for you?
I think it might make Gordon Elliott decide that Romeo Coolio needs a bit further. I'm not convinced he's an out-and-out two-miler, and he looked far more comfortable winning over 2.4 in his first two starts. He needed all of the running to get up over this course distance last time to beat Irish Panther. And Irish Panther isn't as good as Cargese. I have a feeling getting £7 Cargese could cause, well, a minor upset here. I certainly wouldn't be getting involved with Romeo Coolio at 4-9 or whatever silly price he is. But Cargese last time beat a horse called Lovely Hurling, I think he is. He also chased home Kopeck they bought, and they beat him roughly the same distance. So we know what sort of animal we're dealing with Cargese. She's a Group 1 animal over hurdles. And I think getting £7, she could well be the bet in this race.
Okay, so we're taking on the favourite with Harry Wilson, as we know you like to do, Harry, so often. James, great to have you back on the show. Are you with or against Romeo Coolio here?
I think I'd be with James. I agree with Harry. Probably is better now at 2.5 miles. He's looked very good over that trip. Wasn't as impressive over this course and distance last time. But with the ground being a lot softer, I think it's going to bring his stamina into play that bit more. I mean, Cargese's a very good mare, but she wouldn't be in Kopeck de Bord's class. Mm. Not really sure this is ideally her ground either as well. So I think it will be difficult to bring her speed into play. He's a very good jumper. Romeo Coolio, very accurate, sharp. And I think this will probably go his way. And it'll probably be, therefore, the Arkle at the festival rather than any of the races over the longer distances.
Yeah, of course, has that Ryanair entry. And perhaps if he had lost to Kopeck the board, that would sway connections to have a look at it. But maybe it seems like all systems go for the Arkle course. Ed, we don't get to see Kopeck the board in there. I've got a feeling you're on the same camp as me with Lalamba for the Arkle. So potentially we're watching this race hoping Romeo Coolio is not going to challenge those betting slips, so to speak.
Yeah, we at Unibet make the Arkle at Cheltenham look a two-runner race at the moment. The Lumber's 5-4. We're pretty short there. But we're also pretty short on Romeo Coolio. I think we're the shortest in the village at 5-2. And I can see why. He has performed exceptionally well over fences, jumping really slickly, has quite kind of decent speed as well. I just think it's Romeo Coolio's race to lose here. I don't expect him to do so here today. And then he'll go on to the Arkle at Cheltenham.
Okay. Well, that race seems straightforward. The next one certainly might not be. This is an absolute stellar lineup here. The 3.30 at Leopardstown, the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup, one of the highlights of the season. And my, oh my, it has not disappointed. No 80 kilos in the race, but still a very, very good lineup indeed, led by Galopin de Champ, the 11-8 favourite, bidding for that history-making fourth win in the race. Gaelic Warrior at 5-1. Factor File, 13-2. I know the way you're thinking. The Gold Cup winner, 15-2. Will he finally show something this season? Affordable Fury, can he do it all over again? 17-2. Spindleberry, 10-1. Iron Maximus, 12s. Grange Clare West, 22. Champ Kylie and Stella Story at 33-1. Firefox, ridden by Sean Bowen, at 50s, along with Lecky Watson and Monty Starr. Let's come straight back to you, Ed. What an absolute cracker this race is. I mean, we're talking about a Brown Advisory winner at 50-1. It just goes to show how deep and competitive a race this is. Is Galopin de Champ going to do it all over again?
Well, if he does, there'll be a big party at Lippisdown on Saturday, that's for sure. What a fantastic horse he is. He did lose his unbeaten chase record at Lippisdown last time out in the Seville's Chase, but he had apparently had a niggle. And when he won that race last year, he'd come from finishing third on an opening run at Punchestown. So he probably needed that, even though it was a fantastic effort by anybody else's standard to finish third in a grade one. But going for a record equaling, four wins in the race. Florida Pearl did it back in the early 2000s, I think. And he loves the course. He would have been primed for this race. He's 13-8 favourite. Pretty short, really, if you think about the other horses that are taking him on. I mean, Willie Mullins has, I think, 8 of the field, and many of them have got chances on one bit of form or another, I would suggest. But he is so clear at home, I suppose, in the hearts of the Mullins camp, that you'd be hard pressed to think that any of them would beat him at what is his day. And the top five from last year all run again, which is incredible. You don't normally get that in grade one chases, do you? So it is a classic race, 13 runners at present. We sponsored it back when there used to be 4 or 5 runners. So I'm a bit jealous that they've got 13 top class staying chasers running in this grade one. But it promises to be a fantastic race. And if Galopin de Champ does win, he goes past the £2 million prize money mark. What a horse he's been. Good luck to him. And I tip him.
Okay, Galopin de Champ is Ed's selection. Harry, we'll bring you in here because there's two ways of looking at this race for me. I mean, number one is you've got a horse, Galopin de Champ, who is absolutely brilliant at his best. He's hard to judge here, and he's 11-8 to beat these. But on the other hand, it is such a deep race and he is getting older. Which one of those sides are you on?
Yeah, James, it is a difficult race. Like the numbers are good, but you really want to know who's actually going to run their race today. Like we know that Galopin de Champ, he has usually 3 targets a season. The Savills, the Irish Gold Cup, and then the Cheltenham Gold Cup. And he usually preps in the John Durkin. And he only missed that with a slight niggle, as Ed said. So he always needs a prep run. So I think the Savills is quite easy to explain. And the way he travelled into that race, he looked like his old self before just maybe lacking a bit of fitness. He loves Leopardstown. He's won this race the last 3 years. I really can't see past him. I was tempted to go with Gaelic Warrior just because we know how talented he is, but his record at Leopardstown just puts me off. He just jumps right at nearly every fence and I just can't have him. So, yeah, I think this is Galopin de Champ to lose. He is probably a bit short for the opposition, but I think he just wins.
Just wins, straightforward. That's what we like to hear on the postcards. Right, 2 shouts for the big favourite. I think he'll win as well. Are we going to have a 4-timer, Jimmy?
James, no, I'm afraid not. I'd loathe to take him on, Galopin de Champ. I mean, he's a fantastic horse. And, yeah, I'd love to see him do it. Match Florida Pearl's record and win this for a 4th straight time. But, look, he's a 10-year-old. He's lost 2 of his last 3 races. I mean, at the price, that just doesn't interest me. He's very short. And I just think that if you watch the Savills again, you take away, you know, previous performances, previous reputations and form and everything. I mean, surely you come away from it thinking that the horse to back next time is Iron Maximus. I thought he ran a remarkable race. He was held up at the back, had to come right round the field, and he nearly got there. I think, you know, if he'd been closer to the pace, he definitely would have won that. And conditions are going to be more in his favour this time. It's going to bring his stamina more into play. Of course, he's got loads of stamina, being a Grand National winner. And he's in great form. And he's got Jack Kennedy on them as well. I thought Jack was brilliant at Cheltenham on Trials Day last weekend. So that's a positive sign. I think he's good each way value at his price.
Yeah, certainly could be. I mean, he's a Grand National winner already. We know he'll certainly have a part to play. And at 12-1 is Iron Maximus. Now we're going to move on to Sunday's cards. We're recording here on Thursday afternoon, so we're still at the entries stage. So everything can change. But we're going to start with the Ladbrokes Dublin Chase, where it's Masborough, Marine National, Solness, all going to war once again. Harry, who do you like in this one?
Yeah, I think Marine National reverse form with Solness here. Like, it's such an awful mistake he made over the course and distance over Christmas. He basically came to a standstill, and it's quite remarkable that he came right back into the race to even get beat half a length. I can't really believe that Marsborough is favourite for this race, because his jumping just is not good enough. If you wanted one, there is every chance Solness could run a big race. As usual, he does love Leopardstown, but Marie National, that was the best reappearance on figures that he's done in his life. And without the mistake, I think he'd have won comfortably. So I'd be firmly in the Marie National camp.
Okay, one shout for Marie National. Jimmy, are you going to agree?
No, I mean, I'm interested to see if he's declared, actually, because, I mean, the ground is very, very testing. And, you know, he had a perfectly good run over Christmas, and Barry Connell's very keen about him for the champion chase, so he wouldn't want to affect his prep for that. Look, I think this is Madra's big chance to get back on track. I mean, his jumping has definitely been a problem, as Harry said. I didn't think it was as bad as Leopardstown last time over Christmas. I think the main problem was he was too keen, never really settled, and just meant he was a bit one-paced at the finish. So if he's more settled this time, if he can put in a clear round, don't think the ground will be a problem. I mean, these were similar conditions to when he won the Triumph early. He's a big, strong horse. He's got all the attributes, just needs to put it all together. I think if he can, he's back in the champion chase picture.
Yeah, it's a bit of a conundrum, Mashburn, isn't it? You know what you're going to get, and you know he's classy, but you just don't quite know what's going to happen in the jumping department. We'll wait and see a bit more if he does run on Sunday. Ed, which camp are you in here?
Well, Marine National has drifted, and quite remarkably as well. So that probably suggests that they are thinking about running with the ground, as Jimmy says. What's odds on? Now it's 2-1. Without knowing the full decks, it's really difficult to have a judgment, because they are top class horses. But my eye was taken to Solness, to be honest. I want to take on Masborough because of his jumping, or lack of it, ability. And I just really like Solness's record at Leopardstown. Always been underrated, this horse, I think. 4 Leopardstown wins from 5 races at the track, and is currently 7-2. But yeah, just I think hold your fire until you know the decks, which you will do if you're watching this on Friday or Saturday. But Solness would be my selection. But Marine National, he's going to take some beating wherever he goes in the next 2, 3, 4 months, even at Cheltenham.
Okay, that was the 2:10 at Leopardstown. We move on to the 3:20 at Leopardstown on Sunday, the Timeless Sash Windows Irish Champion Hurdle, where, Ed, we are going to find out more about the Unibet Champion Hurdle. Just before we touch on your selection in this race, the likes of Lossy Mouth, Brighter Days Ahead, Anzadam. We obviously had the Unibet Hurdle last week. Real shame with Sergino. We know now he's going to be out for the season. Just tell us a bit more how the pitch is looking for the Unibet Champion Hurdle going into Sunday.
Yeah, a fairly unsatisfactory Unibet hurdle, really. It's only the third one we've had, and there'd been one previously by Lossy Mouth and Constitution Hill. Obviously, unsatisfactory in terms of if you're a horse lover, because that injury to Sergino was horrible to watch. And it really, I mean, everyone at Cheltenham, they just went down as soon as they saw the horse being pulled up. And it really wasn't particularly good race to present the winner to, because yeah, everyone was still thinking about Sergino. But the prognosis has come back better than it looks. It's the best possible worst result, if you know what I mean. So he'll be away for a year and a half maybe, but there's every chance he'll come back. Whether he'll come back as good is a serious doubt, because they tend not to, that injury, but they can come back. And Lisi walked into the horse ambulance, and I believe he's coming back to 7 barriers next week. So that's good news for Sergino. In terms of a trial for the Unibet Champion Hurdle, it was unsatisfactory as well, because they crawled and then they sprinted, and that's not the new lines bag. So I think he did well, even though he's superior by many, many pounds to the horses he beat. It probably wasn't his forte, the race, the way the race was run. And he quickened up nicely and beat, you know, an average horse who came second in the race last year, or the third who came second in the race last year. So I don't think you can make any judgments. You can't say he can't win the Champion Hilda. You can't say he can win the Champion Hilda based on that. All you know is fit, raring to go. And I spoke to the Skeltons, and obviously the next run will be the Unibet Champion Hurdle. So unsatisfactory, really. Okay. But it does open the race up, the Champion Hurdle itself. And this will have a big say in the market at the moment. The new line hasn't really captured the imagination of the punters. He's still like 11 to 4, 3 to 1, which is a surprise, really, being a JP McManus horse and having a very good record and having won at the festival. But there seems to be a bit of doubt about him having the ability over 2 miles. I'm also not 100% sure about his hurdling. He kind of was looking for a stride of that last hurdle as if he couldn't see it. And you're going to have to run and jump slickly to win a Champion Hurdle. So anyway, enough about the Unibet Champion Hurdle. This particular Irish Champion Hurdle looks a cracker. And Lossiemouth and Brighter Days Ahead, heading the market. I think Lossiemouth has to win this to go for the big one. If she loses, I think they'll go for the mares. But I don't think she'll win. I think Brighter Days Ahead ran well last time. And I think Brighter Days Ahead, with that run behind her, I think we'll reverse the order, and you can get around about 15 to 8, 7 to 4 on the second favourite. So I'll be strongly in the camp that Brighter Days Ahead beats Lossiemouth anyway.
Okay, well, they are joint. There's nothing to separate them on ratings, both rated 159. Which one are you siding with, or potentially sending outside of that, Jimmy?
No, I agree with Ed. I think Brighter Days Ahead can turn that form around from their last run at Christmas. Everyone's saying Lossiemouth has to run in the Champion Hurdle, but I mean, if she's beaten here, I think that ends the argument. She'll be heading for the mares. Brighter Days Ahead, people are forgetting, you know, she started 5-2 for the Champion Hurdle last season. I mean, she was absolutely brilliant last Christmas when she won at Leopardstown. Superb. And I thought that was a really good run back last time. She'll be in peak fitness here, I would have thought. And if they ride her to how they usually ride her, bring her stamina into play. I mean, she's got her conditions. I think this is a really interesting race. Some of the other runners in here are equally interesting. Poneros, interesting to see how he runs. I fancy him at a big price for the Champion Hurdle. But for this race, Brighter Days Ahead is the one I'm very much focusing on.
Okay, and a little clue towards your Champion Hurdle betting as well. We always like that on the podcast, especially if they're at big prices. What's your verdict, Harry?
Yeah, I'm going to make it a hat trick. I thought she ran a brilliant race last time. I just wish that Jack Kennedy had made a bit more use of her. Like, she is strong stare at the trip. You could argue that Lossiemouth are a little bit in front, but I don't think that was the case. I think it was just Brighter Days Ahead would have gone past if she'd have had a run. So yeah, Brighter Days Ahead wins this for me.
Okay, all unanimous in favour of Brighter Days Ahead. Now we're going to move on to Sandown. Of course, a really good card there, including the Grade 1 Scilly Isles. But we're going to start with the 202. We're going to start here with a really competitive handicap chase. The Virgin Bet Every Saturday Money Back Handicap Chase. And your favourite here is Jax Jr. at 7-2 for the Lucy Wadham team. Escape and Evade at 9-2. Gunsight Ridge at 6-1. And Cop Mask, Dr. T.J. Echelberg, 13-2. Rathgall Hill at 11s, Martador 12s, Classic Maestro 14s, along with Denimothy, Hadid Azobo 18-1, and Hypnoptus at 20-1. Jax Jr., your 7-2 favourite. Jimmy, are you for or against?
I think probably the best horse in the race, Jax Jr. Just a little bit worried about whether the ground will suit him as much as some might think. That would be my concern. I mean, this was a tricky race, James. Lots of horses in here who I thought you could give a chance to, but then you took a second look at them and you're like, well, I don't like that. So I came down on Escape and Evade simply because he's in form. He's recorded career best performances according to RPRs in his last two runs. The issue with him is he doesn't really have any form going right-handed. All his forms at Haydock and places like that. That's not really his fault. I mean, he hasn't really run this way around much. When he has run right-handed, I don't think there's been any issues in terms of going this way around. He seems to jump straight enough. So, I mean, he's in form. He'll like the ground. And I just think he'll prefer the conditions a bit more than Jacks Jr. But it's a tough race, this one.
Yeah, certainly is. And you touch on conditions. I mean, it's already pretty testing at Sandown, potentially a bit more rain. So it's going to be a bit of a mud bath at Sandown. Let's hear your thoughts, Ed, on the 202 at Sandown.
Yeah, I think you're going to have a horse that doesn't just like soft, likes it sloppy and heavy. And I think there's one or two in this meeting that fits the bill. We'll come to later on. In this particular contest, I agree, it's a really competitive race. We're going super boost. I should have mentioned we're going extra place in the Irish Gold Cup over at Leopardstown. And this race is difficult, but I love Escape and Evade. I must admit, I feel sorry for Connections because this horse has come second on 8 occasions. And since transferred to Harry Derren for this season, I think it's come second on 3 occasions. And as a consequence, just keeps on being nudged up the handicap. But did win at Haydock a couple of runs back with Paul O'Brien on board. That was a good run and has bumped into a few. I don't think that he's ungenuine. I just think he lacks a change of gear, which means I think the softer ground will suit. And Harry Derren's quoted as saying he needs to have deep ground, which you'll certainly get at Sandown on Saturday. And yeah, I think he has a good chance here. The stable in great form, as you know, those people that listen to me go on and on. I do like trainer form, and Harry Derham's on 73% RTF at the moment on the Racing Post, and his horses are running exceptionally well. And I just think at around about 6-1, he's worth a bet. He is getting on a bit. He has come second quite a lot, but he'll like the ground. First time he'll run at Sandown. He's been running at Haydock of late, but that's because he likes deep ground, and he'll get deep ground at Sandown on Saturday.
Yes, Ed, and as you touch on that, RTF, that running to form metric available on the Racing Post website, 73% for Harry Derren. Very useful tool to check out. That was the 202 at that 202 at Sandown. Harry, we're just here from your selection. What do you like here?
Yeah, I'm in favour of Dr. TJ Eckelberg here, James. He's beaten half a length in this race last year, and it's likely been the target this season. He staged a revival last time at Windsor. He came third, fitted in first-time cheap pieces behind a pair called Highlands Legacy and Tornado, who hailed from a ridiculously strong form line at Newbury that was won by Mighty Bandit, who has since gone and won. So the form looks really solid. He's £5 below his last winning mark, loves testing ground, has good course form, nice low weight, and there couldn't be more in his favour.
Okay, we move on to Sandown's big race, the big domestic race of the weekend. This is the 240 at Sandown, the Virgin Bet Scilly Isles Novices Chase. We've only got four runners here, but a hugely competitive affair led by your favourite Kits Bull for Willie Mullins and Harry Cobden. A huge ride for him here at 5-6 favourite. Calaconti for Gordon Elliott at 85-40. It's not just the Dublin Racing Festival where it's Mullins versus Elliott. 6 Mile Bridge for Fergal O'Brien at 9-2. And Miami Magic winner at Cheltenham last time, 16-1 outsider. Jimmy, Kits Bull was so good at Kempton last time. We're obviously down in trip, but at Sandown, stiffer test. Harry Cobden takes over. He's odds on. Does he win?
He does, yeah. Good little contest, this, James. I mean, he's going to get good opposition with 6 Mile Bridge and Calaconti, but I can't look past Kits Bull. I mean, especially with Harry Cobden on, I can just see him getting a nice lead from the front and getting into a rhythm down the back, jumping well with all those fences down the railway side. Yeah, he was very impressive at Kempton. Just looked a class apart, really. I don't think this ground will be an issue. I don't think the drop back in trip will be an issue either. I thought that the contest might be a bit stiffer. You had horses like Steel Ally entered earlier in the week, but they're not there now. So I think Kits Bull should prove a class apart.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. I was so impressed with him at Kempton, I have to say. And I think everything here is made up for him, particularly with Harry Cobden in the plate. Do you agree, Harry?
Personally, I thought Kits Bull looked like a horse who just relished the quicker ground at Kempton. Like, he travelled so well on it. It looked so comfortable. He does handle soft ground. I'm not saying that that's an issue, but he just looks so good on good ground that I'd be just slightly worried about him. As I've already tipped up Cargazy, it'd be remiss of me not to tip up Calaconti, who stuffed at 16 lengths last time. she's looked really good in her two chase starts. They both come right-handed, so you know she goes this way round. She's a really smart mare. James Bowen's been called up for the ride by Gordon Elliott, which is fantastic. Obviously, we saw him win the Clarence House on Jumbon a couple of weeks ago, so good big race super sub, if you will. I think on the figures, she hasn't got a lot to find with Kitzbühel, and just with ground conditions and the trip, I'd be more in favour of her.
Okay, so Cala Conti is the selection of Harry Wilson here in the Scilly Isles. One selection for the favourite, one selection for Cala Conti. Ed, split the difference.
Well, I think Kitzbühel wins, and I can't believe the price at the moment. I think it'll be much shorter come the day. I hear Harry's concerns about going back over softer ground, but before that race at Kempton, they were all worried that it was too fast for him. So he dealt with it exceptionally well. Prodigious jump at the last, sealed what was a fantastic display of jumping by the novice on what was just his second outing to win that Grade One over 3 miles, the Cato Star. I can't see how anyone's going to get near him. I think it'll be much shorter than kind of 10 to 11 that you can see at the moment. And I think Kitzbühel wins.
Okay, the final race we're going to look at in big detail at Sandown is the 3.10, the Virgin Bet Heroes Handicap Hurdle. Now, Thursday morning, we had an inspection on the hurdles course. All track was safe to go. So we have got some races on the hurdles course, but some further rain on the way. So keep an eye on the Racing Post for all the updates for the weather this weekend, because plenty more rain to come. And that will certainly suit our race favourite here. 11-4, Henry II. We know he loves it at Sandown. Hartington for Joe Tizard at 7-2, Roaring Conquest at 6-1, Titan Discovery 15-2, Red Dirt Road 17-2, Party Vibes 11, Santos Blue 12, Manila Missile 14, Gabby's Cross and Soul Solution 16-1, and Spike Jones the Outsider at 18s. Harry, what's your selection here?
Yeah, we're going to take a bit of a risk here, James, and go for Red Dirt Road and just trust that the John Joes have him fit. He bolted up over this course and distance last year, thumped Henri II 8 lengths. There is an £8 swing in the weight, so you could argue that Henri II could get a bit closer to him this time, but he looked like a horse who had so much more to come that day. Likes the course and distance, likes the ground, and I'm pretty sure the John Joes will have him ready.
Okay, Red Dirt Road for the Brooks and Duns fan. Ed, what's your selection here?
Well, it's the form from the same race last year. I selected Henry II last year, and I'm going to do the same. Some people say if you do the same thing twice and get the wrong result, that's the definition of madness. But I'm going to be backing Henry II to beat Red Dirt Road. I actually had Red Dirt Road down as quite a big price at 17-2. So I was interested that Harry's selected him, because it is 8 lengths for £8. So, you know, they shouldn't be much between them. But Red Dirt Road is having the first run of the season where Henry II's had a couple. And he loves Sandown, as we all know. 7 runs there, 2 wins, 2 seconds. Harry Cobden on board. So I thought, I didn't know the prices when I went through the form. I'm surprised that he's as short as 3-1, I must admit. I thought he'd be 5 or 6-1, but he's shorter than I thought. But Henry II to win the race, the second time I've backed Henry in this race.
Yeah, I don't know, Ed. Maybe people have called you mad before, but this might not be the first time. We'll wait and see. Well, they might have said that when you had your 22-1 winning nap just 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, I should say. So you're clearly doing something right. Well done again on some superb tipping on the postcards. What we love to see. And Jimmy, hopefully you've got some more for us.
Hopefully in this race, James. Yeah, really fancy one here. I mean, you've got to respect the form from last year's race, Red Dirt Road and Henri II. But I really like Roaring Conquest here. He looks to be really well handicapped to me on a few lines of form. He's progressive. Won a race at Windsor in November that has been working out particularly well since then. Just a slight concern. This is the deepest ground he's probably raced on. He's got plenty of form on soft ground, but none on heavy. So we'll see how he goes. I'm hopefully he'll handle it. He's all about stamina. Every time I see him run, he just seems to be staying on. And as I said, he looks to be improving on a nice mark around about the 130 mark, and Gavin Sheehan's been booked, so I'm hoping will go really well.
Okay, let's move on to a quick fire through the rest of Sandown on ITV. 3 more races on air as well. We've got the 12:55 at Sandown. That's the Virgin Bet Daily Extra Places Novices Handicap Hurdle. We're a big chance for potentially Henrietta Knight with Precious Metal there. We've got the 1:25 is also on there. That's the Virgin Bet, a good bet Novices Limited Handicap Chase. And finally, a very competitive handicap chase, the Virgin Bet Masters Handicap Chase. And that's always a good race, potentially a big chance for Venetia Williams there to give her season a bit of a boost. Let's start with you, Harry. Those three races, what do you like in them?
Yes, in the 12:55, we're going to go for Precious Metal. I've been waiting for him to step up in trip. He's shaped like he needs further. He'll much prefer this softer ground. And I really like the form that he showed behind Taurus Bay on his debut. I know you're a big fan of that horse, James. He ran a cracker at Cheltenham the other day. In the next, I quite like a horse called Risk the Pluey. He's yet to win over fences. But he chased home a horse called Donica, who beat Jaguar on Cheltenham Trials Day on Saturday in January. He's only £3 higher, and he's shaped like he would need this step up and trip last time over shorter at Exeter. He ran well in his only start at Sandown, and I think this is a good opportunity for him to record his first win. And in the last race on ITV, good old Mr. Vanguard, I assume, is going to start favourite, and he loves conditions. He will go well, but I'm going to take a risk on Hunter Legend. I've had him in my tracker since he came sick behind Panic Attack at Cheltenham at the start of the season. And I'm just convinced that right-handed is the way to go for him. 3 miles, heavy ground, I think will suit him down to the ground. And he's ridiculously well handicapped if he can show some form for Venetia Williams, who we know has had her struggles this season. But everyone's got to come into form at some time, haven't they?
I certainly do, and I'm with you on Hunter Legend, so I hope you are right, Harry. Three races there. Jimmy, what do you like?
Yeah, at 12:55, I'm going to go for Precious Metal here, winner of a listed bumper at Cheltenham on New Year's Day last season. He's taken well to hurdles. He got off the mark at Lingfield in December, and he stayed on really well that day. I think that gives plenty of encouragement that he'll like this step up in trip. Certainly won't mind the ground looking at his breeding, and Henrietta Knight yards in really good form. Novice Handicap Chase, next race. Yeah, I agree with Harry here. I think Risk de Pluie is very interesting. As Harry mentioned, finished second to Donica last season, and that form looks very good now. I actually backed him for a race at Cheltenham in December, which is a fair bit better than this, I think, and that's been working out. I mean, he just went too hard that day, didn't give himself a chance. But I think this is not as classy a race as that one was. He'll like the ground, and again, the yard's in form. And in the closing race, I'm going to go with Fortunate Man. Now, this race was won last season by O'Connell. O'Connell's rated 138 after finishing second in the Welsh National. But last season, before O'Connell won this race, Fortunate Man actually was only beaten a short head by him, giving £6 when they met at Carlisle. And yet Fortunate Man still isn't rated 130 despite winning well at Aintree last time. And what's more, 9 fences were taken out that day because of the low sun. He only got put up £4 for that victory. I think had those fences been kept in, he'd be going up a lot more because he would have won it easier because he's a pretty good jumper. I think the ground's fine. The yard's got a good record at this meeting, so he'd be my selection in that.
Thank you very much. And finally, Ed, we've got 3 races, 3 more selections from Sandown from you.
Yeah, interesting to hear the thoughts of Jimmy on Fortunate Man. I wanted to take on Mr. Vango, not because I don't like the horse, not because I don't think he's a talented horse. I just think 3 mile, ridiculously, is too short for him. So I'm going to take on Mr. Vango. Fortunate Man was the one that I came down on. I think this will be Harry Cobden's first JP McManus ride since the news broke that he's taken over next year. Maybe it is. I seem to think it might be. And that'll be interesting to see. At the other end of the race meeting, at the 12:55, I respect Precious Metal. I think he's got obvious chances, carries top weight. But Tim Vaughan, his horses have been in terrible form. And good old Bells of Peterborough ran really well at Chepstow the other day, which signalled a return to form for his stable. Finished 3rd that day. And I like his calm Olympian, who was running in France in very soft and heavy ground and then turned up for Tim at Foss Lass, probably expecting heavy ground, but it was good ground and he won on good ground. We've been off the track since then, good over 100 days, but he's obviously gone to Sandown for the soft ground, you would have thought. And with the stable showing glimpses of returning to form, I just thought around about 6-1, that was worth an interest, a small interest. And then the big one for me at Sandown is the 125, the Novices Limited Handicap Chase. I think it'll be a good weekend for Paul Nicholls. More of that later on when we talk about Musselburgh. But I like the look of the profile of Mon Champion, who won this week at Hereford by a nose. And I can't remember, well, I couldn't remember too many times where Paul Nicholls runs a chaser within 7 days or within a penalty. And he's only done it 17 times this century. And he's won on 7 occasions. So when he brings a horse back to run under a penalty over fences, it is quite a successful system. And going back through memory lane, I know you always take the mickey out of me, James, but who remembers Ven Ottery, who ran 6 times in 32 days, went from a rating of 80 to 149, ended up finishing 5th in the Queen Mother Champion Chase. This was a similar horse in terms of he ran 2 or 3 days after he ran, and then he won. Then he ran 2 or 3 days after he ran, and then he won for Paul Nicholls. And he hasn't had too many since that. So I just thought it was interesting that he's decided to do that, because he wouldn't have gone up too much in the handicap because he won by a nose. So Mon Champion, I thought, was worth a chance here as well at a fair price in what is another super boost race at Unibet. Plenty of offers throughout the course of the weekend. In that Henri II race, the 3.10, where we're going top price, industry top price from 11 o'clock on Saturday. So you won't get a better price in the village in that race from 11 o'clock on Saturday. That's a 3.10 at Sandown.
Okay, thanks for that, Ed. We will head north now to Musselburgh. We've got a really good card, plenty of clues for the Cheltenham Festival from there as well, so don't miss out. So we're going to look at all 3 races at once. That is starting with the 110, the Bet365 Scottish Triumph Hurdle, with an Irish horse at the top of the market in Secret Force. We move on to the 143, the Bet365 Scottish County Handicap Hurdle. Some obvious clues for the big 2-mile races, 2-mile handicaps for the rest of the season. And of course, the Bet365 Scottish Champion Chase. Plenty of familiar names in action in the 220. Harry, we've got 3 good races from Musselburgh. What have you found for us?
Yeah, the first race, we're going to keep it simple, James, in the Triumph Trial and go for Secret Force, who is owned by Jimmy Fife, who loves a winner in Scotland. He ran quite a good race, I thought, at Cheltenham, in a race that's worked out well behind One Horse Town. He wasn't racing on the right part of the track, had to make his ground up in the middle. I thought he ran a big race, considering he looked really good on his debut the time before that, and I think he's probably the best of this lot. In the next Scottish County Hurdle, it's a shame that we're not going to see Manella Study in the Triumph Trial, but I'm hoping Adam Nicol will make up for it and give us the winner of the county, because I think Wise Eagle is quite a big price. He loves Musselburgh. 7 starts there. He had 5 wins, a close second and a 4th in the Queen's Cup on the flat, before coming back for his last hurdle start last month over 2 mile 4. He was quite keen that day. His jumping looked a bit rusty on his first start over hurdles for ages. I don't think he quite got home over 2 mile 4 that day. 2 mile around Musselburgh should be perfect for him. And I don't think a mark of 125 represents what he can do in this sphere. And then the Scottish Champion Chase, one of my favourite horses in training, going to go for JPR1. He's been much better since he's had the cheek pieces fitted. I was a bit annoyed that he didn't win at Ascot when he's fitted with the cheap pieces for the first time, but he ran a huge race behind David's World at Cheltenham last time, going down behind by just half a length. That horse is improving. JPL1, he's gone up a bit in the handicap, which doesn't help. He has to give away a lot of weight, but he's a really classy animal, and I think 2 mile 4 might actually bring out the best of him at this stage of his career.
Yeah, the Tizards do sometimes tend to improve when they just creep up in distance. I'm all with you on JPR1 and like that you share the affection with me, Harry. That's Harry's 3 selections at Secret Force in the 110, Wise Eagle in the 143 and JPR1 in the 220. What's yours, Ed?
Yeah, interested in what Harry says about Secret Force. He's obviously a horse they think a lot of at Gavin Conwell. He ran in the same opening race in Ireland that the stables L'Espoir d'Allon, the subsequent Unibet champion hurdle winner, ran in. So I expect they think this horse has a future over hurdles, not just as a four-year-old, and wouldn't put off anyone backing that. But Paul Nicholls does exceptionally well at this meeting up at Musselbury. He does target it, normally to try and get a bit of better ground for his better ground horses. But in the past, this meeting has been raced on good to soft and soft ground. So the prevailing good to soft surface is equally adept at getting horses ready for this surface at this meeting as well. He's won this particular race five times from just nine runners in the contest. And I like Fall of Achan, who won over course and distance last time. You can bet your bottom dollar that this has been the target for a long time, this being a listed race worth close to £30,000. So I respect Secret Force, but at the odds, I'm going to go for Falls of Achan at around about 5-1.
Okay, and the other two races?
Yeah, the next race is the Scottish County Hurdle at 143. And once again, I go for Paul Nicholls. Affadil is another horse he would definitely have been targeting this race with. He won this race last year, actually, Affadil did. Or was it 2 years ago? And he's also been placed in this race. Maybe that was last year. But at Musselbury, he's had five runs and he's never been out. He's only been once out the top three. I think that was a good run last time when he seemed to hit the last and lose momentum and still ran on under kind of tender handling. He was given one persuader, but he seemed to be running on well in the closing stages. And I think Affadil will win this race for a second time at 143. And then the Scottish Champion Chase at 220. Like Harry, I'm a big fan of JPR. I too backed him at Ascot and at Cheltenham, so I'm probably following my wallet in again. But that was a good performance last time out against Dave as well, who is 4-4 and is well handicapped. This horse had to give him about 2 stone almost. He has been notched up 3 pounds, but they were 9.5 lengths clear the third that day at Cheltenham in a good race. And JPR seems to have been improving for each run. They were thinking about the Champion Chase itself at the beginning of the season, of which he is the only horse in this race that's entered in the Cheltenham version. But he is 66-1 for that. And I think this could be his Champion Chase win. I think he'll win this. I can't believe the price. It's around about 5-1. I thought he'd be favourite. So, yeah, if JPR 1 is the selection in the Scottish Champion Hurdle. I should also say that in the Scottish County Hurdle, we are going money back second or third. So our flagship offer in the 143 at Musselburgh, the Scottish County Hurdle, money back second or third.
And Ed's selections there are Falls of Achan in the 110, Affadil in the 143, an absolute theft, isn't it, having Freddie Keighley with £7 taking off a really good young rider. And another shout for JPR1 in the 220. Jimmy, last one, what's your selections here?
Yeah, 110, a bit of a disappointment, really, James, with the declarations. I was hoping to see Manella Study and at least one of the Henderson entries take each other on. As it is, Secret Force is a short price favourite. I think probably on the balance of his form, he is a bit short. Falls of Achan, as Ed mentioned, £7 better off with Scarlet Moon for the course and distance win last time. I'd probably, if forced, side with him, but I think most likely I won't be playing in this race. In the Scottish County Hurdle, I actually think this is fascinating. Last year's 1-2 Welsh Charger and Affadil, definitely got to respect them. But I like the 2 5-year-olds. Star of Gwitting, who won over course and distance on New Year's Day. That's got a chance. But the one I really like at the price is Static. Now, this one was rated 129 last time. He's £12 lower now. He took a bad fall winning contention at Chepstow at the start of the season. I think it's taken him a while to get his confidence back, but he is showing signs of a return to form. Donald McCain has a very good record in this race, and I think he's very interesting at a big price. And I'm going to make it a hat trick in the Scottish Champion Chase with JPR 1. His form's at 2 miles, and he hasn't looked the strongest of finishers, so you wouldn't naturally think this is a horse who would need to step up in trip. But I do think it's an interesting move. Could, like Harry says, actually improve him, these extra fences. I mean, he's such a fluent jumper. Could make him that bit better if he does settle. He's got a Ryanair entry as well. So they've obviously been thinking about this for a few months. And this track looks a perfect place to try the step up in trip for JPR1.
Certainly does. And a Howell Gold Cup winner as well. So I'd be fairly confident he stays. A really good point about the fences that I hadn't really thought too deeply about, but a great shout. So that is JPR1 in the 220. We'll work backwards. Static in the 143. And another shout for the Paul Nichols Raider Fools of Ashan in the 110. That's all the ITV action summed up. Jimmy B, you've got two more for us off the TV.
Well, just one more, actually, because I mentioned Rista De Pluie earlier at Sandown. I do have one in the closing race at Musselburgh, which is Kelsey. And I've alluded to his form with Fortunate Man earlier on, because, of course, he finished second to Fortunate Man at Aintree when all the fences were taken out. He's just £1 half of that effort. He was entered in the Great Yorkshire last week, but I think the ground was too soft for him in the end. So he remains in class three company, and I think this is a lot easier. He should go really well, providing the ground's okay. They're forecast a bit more rain at Musselburgh, which wouldn't be ideal for him. But it does dry out very quickly there. So hopefully if the ground's good to soft, that should be fine for him. And I think he'll go very well.
That is Kelsey in the 4.11 at Musselburgh on Saturday. Join us after this quick break where we whittle down from our 13 races our very best bets for this weekend.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Okay, it's that time in the show where we have to nominate our best bet of the weekend. And we're going to start with you, Harry Wilson. What is the bet from you?
My best bet comes in the 202 at Sandown. That is Dr. TJ Eckelberg. He's finally got things in his favour. He's £5 below his last winning mark. Got good course form. And I expect him to go very, very close.
Okay, Jimmy Hill.
Yeah, mine's Roaring Conquest in the 310 at Sandown. I think this could be the perfect test for him. 3 miles, stiff track, stays all day, and his form looks to be working out. Progressive as well, so Roaring Conquest for me.
I'm going to go Secret Force in the 110 at Musselburgh. Just think he's a juvenile on the up and will be too good for the Brits. Ed, your final selection, your nap, please.
Yep, 220 at Musselburgh, Scottish champion chase. I'm going to go for the horse. The only horse in the race is actually in the Cheltenham champion chase, and that's JPR1. Who has run well in defeat of late. And I think this is a really good chance for him to win his first race of the season. And I think he's a fair price as well. So JPR1 to win over 2.5 miles.
And all four of us are cheering him on as well, Ed. Thank you very much to our panellists, which, if you're watching along, in the top right is Harry Wilson, bottom left, James Hill, and Ed Nicholson from Unibet in the bottom right. Do make sure to join us again next Thursday because the jumps action continues. It will be Super Saturday at Newbury, the Denman Chase, all those clues for the Gold Cup, the Lambas return at Newbury as well. And of course, an absolute stellar William Hill hurdle, one of my favourite races of the season. If you're a fan of our content, do make sure to rate, review and subscribe. Load of comments, which you enjoyed reading as well. So keep them coming on the show. But for now, have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the action in Britain and Ireland. And of course, gamble responsibly.